I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. I can even hear Gene with his cowbell. How about that? Hour number four of the Fan Evening Show. Josh Taylor here with you till 10:30. And we have a lot more to get into in this next hour and a half before we yield the floor to the Ireland Contracting Nightly Sports Call. I talked about a little bit with the playoffs in the NFL in the previous hour. I talked a little bit about the Steelers and something I think needs to be fixed or at least tweaked in the offseason. But my next guest, I'm going to ask him a lot more about a few specific things. He covers the Steelers for SteelersNow.com. His name is Alan Saunders. He joins me right now on 93.7 The Fan. Alan, what's happening?
I got a fever. prescription. More cowbell. And maybe some Steelers talk. That'd work too.
We'll try to get both in as best as we can. Okay. I will start with this one because this is the freshest thing in my mind. I just talked about this at the end of the previous hour. I compared my concerns about the Steelers' offensive line to my wife's dislike of mushrooms. And the thing they have in common, it's the consistency for both of us. My question to you, if you were trying to address said consistency on said offensive line, what would be the thing for you to do and where would you start?
My wife also doesn't like mushrooms.
See?
And my solution there has been that I got some, like, dried mushroom powder, and I just put that into things that I want to taste like mushrooms so that she doesn't actually have to eat them. And that's worked very well. I'm not sure if we can grind up any offensive linemen and hide them, and I'm not sure this analogy is working.
I'm going to have to agree with that part.
I think the thing with the Steelers' offensive line is this, that they improved as the season went on. And I think they've now all sort of individually and collectively have played their way from a unit that I thought was a crisis to one that just maybe isn't very good. And I think the Steelers can now approach the offseason and kind of let things come to them as opposed to feeling like they need to go make a change. You know, I think if, Taylor Lewin out there talking about he likes the look of black and gold today. Okay, if he wants to come play here and he wants to do it on a reasonable contract, let's make that happen. If Paris Johnson or Broderick Jones Skoronski is there when the Steelers want to draft and it makes sense, great. They can find some talent. They can make an upgrade. But also, like, they have other needs as well. They have needs at cornerback, inside linebacker, defensive tackle, wide receiver. And so I think if they decide that the value is better to take care of those other positions in whatever order, I think they've kind of put themselves in a position where they can do that too. But it certainly is, to me, just a group that lacks upside and talent. I mean, who's the highest drafted guy on that unit? Like a second round pick, one of them? Like, it's just not, there's no stalwart guy, right? I think that can be consistency of its own. If you're looking for consistency, I think you start with one guy you know you can always depend on.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
With that said, if you're talking about this offense and trying to find a guy to depend on, there's folks they think that think they need to find a guy to depend on at the offensive coordinator position, and now there's names that are out there that are kind of being floated on the wind, and the latest one floated out there is Byron Leftwich. Now, we know things have been kind of put on hiatus because Mike Tomlin's dealing with a personal matter here, but for you, how much of this is smoke with Byron Leftwich and how much of this might be fire?
Well, I think there is some genuine interest from both sides there. I mean, I think that Byron Leftwich would like to work for Mike Tomlin, and I think that there's a familiarity there, and certainly when you look at the resume of Byron Leftwich, and let's get it clear, Tampa was not very good this year, but if you look at the totality of his resume, passing stats jump off the page to me. Obviously won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. And, I mean, the Steelers' offense has not been better than when Bruce Arians was running it. So, you know, looping back into that part of the coaching tree sounds very attractive to me. I also think that from most of what I'm hearing is that people around the league are not expecting the Steelers to make a change at offensive coordinator. So, you know, I think the thing that kind of seems like the most likely scenario to me is if you look at what they did with defensive coordinator a few years ago. You know, Keith Butler was nearing the end of his career. It wasn't sure how long he was going to stay. And they brought in Terrell Austin as an assistant first and sort of integrated him into the defense, helped while he was there. And then he eventually took over as defensive coordinator. I could see the Steelers bringing in someone with an offensive coordinator resume to either be quarterback's coach, or you want to call it a senior offensive assistant or an offensive consultant or something like that, and try to add to this offensive staff while not necessarily making the move that I think most of the Steelers faithful would like them to.
Now that we're going down that road, I'm imagining you're putting out that kind of scenario with a couple names in mind. Who fits that description for you?
Well, I think Leftwich might if there is not someone that comes calling to make him an offensive coordinator. I think that's certainly possible. You know, there are some other options out there, too. You know, some guys like a Jim Caldwell who like would not be probably looking to be an offensive coordinator, but has a relationship with Mike Tomlin and might want to just, you know, feel like he can come in and help out. And, you know, there's changes in Tampa Bay. I know he's certainly older, and I don't know how much he'd want to be involved, but a guy like Tom Moore could be someone that could come in and just be, you know, a little bit of guidance and a little bit of a veteran assistance. I think if you look at Matt Canada's strengths and his weaknesses, I think to me, one of the just glaring and sort of inescapable weaknesses is that you're dealing with a guy who has not done this successfully before at the NFL level. And I think we've talked about this before. I think it's really hard to expect that guy to get the most out of Kenny Pickett, not having done it before. And so to add somebody that has been there and done that to that offensive staff, I think to me would raise the comfort level of keeping a Matt Canada around and saying, and trying to get the best of both worlds and saying, okay, here's someone that can develop Kenny Pickett, who's had, you know, great success with quarterback play at the NFL level. And also we can keep our offense, we can keep our terminology, and we can you know, keep this transition easy for Kenny Pickett into his second year in the NFL.
Alan Saunders, SteelersNow.com, joins me on 93.7 The Fan. Now, let's kind of shift back to the roster itself here, because there will be holes on this team, especially on the defensive side. There's a defensive line where a couple guys are going to be free agents. You imagine Tyson Alualu's career is probably going to come to an end. Chris Wormley's a free agent. Cam Sutton is a free agent. There's a couple other guys at linebacker that are becoming free agents as well. Trying to kind of move it to the defensive side. How do you start maybe fixing some of these holes, and which becomes the better option for you? Free agency, the draft? How do you fill some of these spots, and how – you know, what's the best remedy for it?
I think it depends on how much of their own business they can get done. Like, I look at a guy like Cam Sutton, a guy like Terrell Edmonds. To me, they're integral parts of his defense. I'm trying to lock those guys up if I'm Omar Khan. And if he can do that, then I think it allows a lot of flexibility. Like, a guy like DeMonte Casey, Would I like to have him back? Yeah, but if I have Terrell Edmonds, then it doesn't become a necessity, I don't think. And if somebody else wants to, you know, if he wants to go see what the market is like, then that's fine. You know, they have two guys in Akella Witherspoon and William Jackson. I kind of doubt that they're both going to be there, you know, in those positions come training camp time just because of the cap hits involved. But, you know, locking up Sutton kind of gives you the flexibility to let things happen and see what you want to do there. I'm really curious to see what they're going to do with inside linebacker. I'm almost certain that Devin Bush will not be the answer to that question. But, you know, Robert Spillane's a free agent too. Miles Jack is a huge cap hit. And honestly, I thought it was kind of just okay this year. I don't know what they're going to do at that position. It's also not a position that I think they have an answer in the first round of the draft. It's just not a place to get off-ball linebackers right now. And I mean, there's maybe one guy that kind of fits the bill, but that's giving yourself a narrow path. So I think inside linebacker, Tremaine Edmonds from Buffalo, obviously has been talked about a lot because of who his brother is. Somebody. I think to me that's the number one sort of external addition. If they can get some internal business taken care of first, that I'd be looking for as finding a starting inside linebacker in free agency. And then whether they want to bring Jack back or Spillane or some combination of those guys, then I think it starts to become a little more workable than what they have right now.
Alan, let's shift over to the playoffs because we saw some interesting results here in this first round. And the thing that stuck out to me, not only the ending of that Baltimore-Cincinnati game, but the fallout associated with it. There's a lot here as far as, you know, you hear about what J.K. Dobbins said about the decisions to, you know, not involve him more with the run game and short yardage and the goal line. Then there's this whole situation surrounding Lamar Jackson. You got guys like Calais Campbell pretty much supporting you saying, hey, you got to bring a guy like that back. You look at this roster with Baltimore because this is a situation that pretty much along the line eventually affects the Steelers. You look at what Baltimore's dealing with. You look at what Cleveland's dealing with. How does it put what's going on with the Steelers maybe in better perspective? Because there are some teams out there with some issues that they got to fix, and they're a lot more immediate right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to say that you'd rather be the Ravens than the Steelers right now, right? I mean, they're going to have to – I think one of the things that was so laudable about what the Ravens did when they realized that Lamar Jackson was going to be a special player was they really just kind of built their whole offense around him, right? They said, like, we got this guy, he's pretty unique, nobody else has anything like this, and we're going to make it work in our own way, you know, and we're going to be a little bit different than probably 31 other NFL teams. But when you do that, it doesn't work without that guy, right? I mean, they've kind of hitched their wagon to Lamar Jackson. I don't see how these Ravens go forward without him unless they're going to enter a significant rebuild. And I don't get the sense, you know, that's what they're looking to do. So I don't know. I think they've got to find a way to bring Lamar Jackson back, whether that's a franchise tag, which is available to them, or it's a long-term deal, one or the other. But I mean, I keep seeing out there, you know, see photo shots of him in different jerseys and dramatic Instagram photos that can be interpreted in multiple different ways. And to me, I'm just skeptical that the Ravens don't find a way to get this done just because of how much he means to that team and how difficult of a path forward it's going to be for them if they don't have him anymore and they have to go kind of back to the drawing board at the quarterback position.
Alan Saunders, SteelersNow.com, joining me on 93.7 The Fan. Alan, I was looking at different playoff games this weekend, and I broke this down in the previous hour during Playoff Football Remix, and I talked about the team that did what I expected, and that was the 49ers. I expected them to eventually wear down the Seahawks and pull away and win by double digits, which was pretty much they were favorite to do. But you see what Brock Purdy did, 3 touchdowns passing. He ran for 1 as well. 2 of those 3 touchdown passes came on checkdowns. There was, of course, the long pass to Deebo Samuel. But there was another round of those questions about, well, why can't the Steelers do what the 49ers are doing? And I look at that roster, and I'm going, well, Trent Williams, Mike McGlinchey, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Christian McCaffrey. That's why Brock Purdy's able to do what he's doing. But when you look at the rest of this playoff field, who sticks out for you as far as teams that are playing well right now and looks like they can keep this going throughout the next couple rounds?
Yeah, I mean, I like what the 49ers are doing on defense right now. I think that's really not talked about enough. I mean, Bosa's playing probably the best football we've ever seen from him. I think D'Amico Ryans is rightfully getting a lot of attention as a head coaching candidate for what he's done with that unit. And that is the sort of the whole building block of what the 49ers are able to do, is that they play such good defense and they run the ball with three running backs that you know, it's not like Brock Purdy ever has to do that much. And then, you know, look, he's got good talent around him, and he's got a really good scheme. You know, I think one of the untalked about parts of the whole Steelers and Matt Canada drama, and let's get real here. I mean, Shanahan is a better play caller, better offensive mind than Matt Canada is, and I don't think that's an insult to say so. Like, he's better than just about everybody, right? But I think, you know, there are very few teams that have that going for them, right? I mean, how many other teams can you I mean, I think the Eagles are feeling pretty confident in what they're doing right now. But, like, look at the Cowboys. Like, that whole team, they wanted to fire – everybody wanted to fire Mike McCarthy last year. I was talking to Mike McCarthy at the Combine, and it was like he was like a dead man, like, just waiting for the pink slip. And now, all of a sudden, you know, they just routed Tom Brady in the playoffs. Like, I think there are very few teams that are like, just, yes, absolutely, we got our guy. We know exactly what we want to do from head coaching perspective and coordinating perspective on both sides of the ball. 49ers have that. And I think that's a very rare thing. I think they're going to go very far. I think the Eagles are a more talented team. And I think they're very well coached as well. But I just think, you know, the Steelers' problems are a little overstated. Yeah, I mean, they did not have a dynamic offense this year. But there, you know, there's been a half a dozen guys that have become available that have been fired as coordinators. And nobody's like, oh, yes, please bring them here instead. You know, let's acknowledge that, you know, things weren't that bad either. And everybody else has problems, too, I guess, is maybe a better way to say it.
Alan, before I let you go, I wasn't planning on asking this question, but it was something you kind of worked your way into. You mentioned D'Amico Ryans. I think this is a little bit relevant here. There's a handful of jobs open right now, head coaching jobs in the league. Arizona is one of them that's available. The Cardinals are interested in speaking with Brian Flores for their head coaching position. Now, teams like Arizona, Denver, Indianapolis, Houston, those are the teams with jobs open. In your estimation, if you had to put a percentage of the likelihood of Brian Flores accepting a head coaching job somewhere else, where are you putting that number?
I think he's been talked about pretty highly for the Arizona job. There's a connection there with the new general manager. Both came up with the Patriots. I think I like his chances there. Probably better than a coin flip. If it's not that one, I'm not sure I see an obvious fit. I don't know what the Texans are doing, and I'm not sure the Texans know what the Texans are doing. So that makes them very difficult to handicap. But, you know, there are only so many jobs. And, you know, I think it generally, if you look league-wide, I think the preference seems to be for offensive coaches. So, you know, there's going to be some teams that just aren't going to be interested. So, but there's also a bunch of coordinator positions that are already open, plus all these teams that are hiring head coaches, a whole bunch of them are going to eventually want to hire new coordinators as well. So, I think it's very unlikely that we see Brian Flores back in Pittsburgh next year, whether that's as a head coach of the Arizona Cardinals or a head coach somewhere else or as a coordinator somewhere else. He's just too good of a coach, and there are too many good jobs out there for someone not to want him.
Alan, appreciate the time as always, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, JT. We'll see.
Alan Saunders. I love how he just says, I don't know what the Texans are doing, and I don't think the Texans know what they're doing. And you know what? I don't think he's wrong. Just saying. We kind of went over time here. We got headlines coming up. When we come back, I want to get a little bit deeper into detail with something we just discussed here. Alan said something about teams remaining in the playoffs that made me think of something that was said earlier today. I might need to poke some holes and bust a couple myths here. We'll discuss that when we come back. This is the Fan Evening Show. Josh Taylor, 93.7 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details.
Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.